But if you stay here, you'll die, said Mort.
Then I shall have to show the disc how a queen can die, said Kelly, looking as proud as was possible in a pink knitted bed jacket.
Mort sat down on the end of the bed with his head in his hands.
I know how a queen can die, he muttered. They die just like other people, and some of us would rather not see it happen.
Excuse me, I just want to look at this crossbow, said Cutwell conversationally, reaching across them. Don't mind me. I shall go proudly to meet my destiny, said Kaylee.
But there was the barest flicker of uncertainty in her voice.
No, you won't. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. Take it from me. There's nothing proud about it. You just die.
Yes, but it's how you do it. I shall die nobly, like Queen Ezeriel.
Mort's forehead wrinkled. History was a closed book to him.
Who's she?
She lived in Clatch, and she had a lot of lovers, and she sat on a snake, said Cutwell, who was winding up the crossbow.
She meant to. She was crossed in love.
All I can remember was that she used to take baths in ass's milk. Funny thing, history, said Cutwell reflectively. You become a queen, reign for 30 years, make laws, declare war on people, and then the only thing you get remembered for is that you smelled like yoghurt and you were bitten in the...
She's a distant ancestor of mine, snapped Kaylee. I won't listen to this sort of thing.
Will you both be quiet and listen to me? Shouted Mort.
Silence descended like a shroud.
Then Cutwell sighted carefully and shot Mort in the back.
The night shed its early casualties and journeyed onwards. Even the wildest parties had ended, their guests lurching home to their beds, or someone's bed at any rate. Shorn of these fellow travellers, mere daytime people who had strayed out of their temporal turf, the true survivors of the night got down to the serious commerce of the dark. This wasn't so very different from Ankh Morpork's daytime business, except that the knives were more obvious and people didn't smile so much. The shades were silent, save only for the whistled signals of thieves and the velvety hush of dozens of people going about their private business in careful silence. And, in Ham Alley, Cripplewar's famous floating crap game was just getting underway. Several dozen cowled figures knelt or squatted around the little circle of packed earth where Wah's 3 8-sided dice bounced and spun their misleading lesson in statistical probability.
3! Two fowl's eyes by Eo.
He's got you there, Hummock. This guy knows how to roll his bones.
It's a knack.
Hummock McGuck, a small flat-faced man from one of the hublandish tribes whose skill at dice was famed wherever two men gathered together to fleece a third, picked up the dice and glared at them. He silently cursed Wah, whose own skill at switching dice was equally notorious among the cognoscenti but had apparently failed him, wished a painful and untimely death on the shadowy player seated opposite, and hurled the dice into the mud.
21 the hard way!
Wah scooped up the dice and handed them to the stranger. As he turned to Hummock, one eye flickered ever so slightly. Hummock was impressed. He'd barely noticed the blur in Wah's deceptively gnarled fingers, and he'd been watching for it. It was disconcerting the way the things rattled in the stranger's hand, and then flew out of it in a slow arc that ended with 24 little spots pointing at the stars. Some of the more streetwise in the crowd shuffled away from the stranger, because luck like that can be very unlucky in Cripplewar's floating crap game. Wah's hand closed over the dice with a noise like the click of a trigger.
All the eights, he breathed. Such luck is uncanny, mister.
The rest of the crowd evaporated like dew, leaving only those heavy-set, unsympathetic-looking men who, if Wah had ever paid tax, would have gone down on his return as essential plant and business equipment.
Maybe it's not luck, he added. Maybe it's wizarding?
I most strongly resent that.
We had a wizard once who tried to get rich, said Wah. Can't seem to remember what happened to him. Boys?
We give him a good talking to.
And left him in Pork Passage.
And in Honey Lane.
And a couple of other places I can't remember.
The stranger stood up. The boys closed in around him.
This is uncalled for. I seek only to learn. What pleasure can humans find in a mere reiteration of the laws of chance?